Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Murder, it's now so common that we aren't fazed by it much anymore. But the taking of innocent life breaks one of the cardinal commandments of God. And since Roe versus Wade, that commandment has been broken untold millions of times. Please stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. On today's broadcast, Pastor Lutzer continues his series on the Ten Commandments. Join us for a study in commandment number 5 as we hear a message on the value of life.
A 12-year-old boy was watching a Western. His mother was one who very much was against drinking. And as she came into the room, it happened that the villain was just walking into a saloon, and the boy knew that he was in trouble. So in order to get out of the trouble, he said, "Ah, Mom, don't worry." He said, "This guy isn't coming into the saloon to take a drink. He's just going to kill somebody." All of which reminds us that human life today is not worth very much, considering all the things that happen. Television is filled with violence. We have all kinds of murders, and even here in the city of Chicago, we've come to accept them pretty well. Even though the Bible says with clarity, "Thou shalt do no murder," God says. That's Exodus chapter 20, verse 13. I want you, however, to turn to Exodus chapter 21, which we'll be referring to in just a moment, as well as a couple of other passages. You know that evolutionists do not value human life very much, because they say that we came up through the animal world, and therefore, since we are one with the animal kingdom and we kill animals, why can't we kill human beings? That's one of the great arguments in favor of abortion, is that we kill animals, and we kill baby pigs when they are deformed. Therefore, why shouldn't we kill baby humans when they are deformed, when we are really only a higher intelligence than animal, but basically on the same spectrum? And so evolutionists know right well that their view demeans humanity. And I can find writers, I have them in my library, who say very strongly that man has been far overrated in terms of value, and that it's time that we recognize that he really had a much lesser place than we have been giving him. The other thing that evolutionists have been doing is to try to speak about animal rights, to bring animals up. A prestigious university here in the Chicago area that I will not mention had a seminar on animal rights. They all got together and wondered what kind of rights animals had. Well, certainly we should not treat animals cruelly, but animals can be killed by man. They can be used in experiments, and they also can be used as animals for food. Now, I know I'm going to get some letters this week over that, but that's all right. I've said it, and I don't mind having said it. But the problem is that God says when it comes to man that he is a cut above the animal world, and that's not the problem. That is, of course, scriptural teaching that man is special. He is unique. Now I can imagine somebody saying, "Well, you know, at last the pastor has come to a commandment that doesn't apply to me. It's true that I may have other gods beside the true God. It is true that there may be times when I may take the Lord's name in vain, but at least, thank God, I'm not a murderer." In fact, as we look at this congregation today, I was thinking about this yesterday. I wondered if there's a murderer here. We wouldn't necessarily ask you to rise if that's the case. But, you know, in a congregation of 1,500, is there someone who is guilty of murder? Well, I think by the time we have finished this message, we will find out that the answer may be yes, at least in some sense, guilty of breaking this commandment. Now, when we look at the text, it's very clear, "Thou shalt do no murder," but the question that we have to ask is, what are the different ways in which this commandment can be broken? Can even those of us who have never taken someone's life in any sense of the word, can we also be guilty of murder? What are the ways that this commandment can be violated? First of all, this commandment can be violated with the hand. Murder by the hand. What do I mean? I'm talking about somebody who actually snuffs out the life of somebody else. Physical murder. And there are different ways that this kind of murder can be carried out. For example, you can just go ahead and kill someone. You can take a gun and you can shoot them. You can put poison in their soup. There are a number of different ways that this can be done to rub somebody out, somebody who's in your way. That's one way that you can murder with the hand. You can murder an enemy. There's another way, and that is you can murder a fetus. A fetus. You know, this passage in Exodus chapter 21 that we read actually indicates that a fetus comes under the protection of what is known as the law of retaliation. It says in verse 22, if men struggle with each other and strike a woman with child so that she has a miscarriage, yet there is no further injury, he shall surely be fined. Verse 23, but if there is any further injury, that is, if the child dies, that's the important point. If the fetus doesn't live when she has a miscarriage, then you shall appoint as a penalty life for life, eye for an eye, tooth for tooth. It seems clear from the Bible that the fetus comes under the protection of the law of retaliation in the Old Testament. And we know that in Psalm 139, it says that God is the one that formed me before I was born, and he was the one that embroidered me. That's a good translation of the Hebrew word. He embroidered me in my mother's womb. He put me together. And in the New Testament, the fetus is called a baby, as in the case of John the Baptist. It says that the baby leaped in her womb. The baby. 4,300 babies killed every day in the United States because of abortion. There's another way that this commandment can be broken. You can kill an enemy, you can kill a fetus, or you can kill yourself. Or people who commit suicide. 25,000 Americans a year have a death wish, and they like to die, and so they do. They commit suicide. Something like Jonah in the Old Testament, wanting desperately to commit suicide, but not quite knowing how to pull it off. I think it's about four times in the book of Jonah you have Jonah complaining to God and saying, it is better to me to die than to live. And in the fourth chapter, he pleads with God. He says, please kill me. And he probably would have done it himself if he had only had the nerve. You know that suicide is a very selfish crime. People say, well, when I commit suicide, then I'm out of people's way and everybody's going to be happy. One of the things to ask someone who's on the verge of committing suicide is, who will find you? Who will find the body? Who will have to take care of the funeral arrangements? Suicide is a tremendously difficult experience for those who are left behind to face. And of course, we don't have to commit suicide. There is hope for believers. Now, let me simply say that some people think that a true believer can't commit suicide. The answer is yes, they can. Of course, they're dying by committing murder. They're dying with unconfessed sin. But there are multitudes of Christians that are going to die with unconfessed sin on their hands. And God is going to take care of that just as he takes care of any other unconfessed sin. Legally, believers are accepted in Jesus Christ, and I have met some and I have known some who have been so depressed and so harassed that eventually they did die at their own hand. I think of a young man gloriously converted out of paganism in Canada, had a wonderful testimony of the power of Christ. I remember being on a kneeling at a bed and praying with him, and how that young man prayed. But then he entered into the RCMP, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, more accurately today, the Royal Canadian Motor Car Police, but nonetheless still called Mounties. And because he was different, have you ever met people that are different? There's nothing wrong with them, but they just don't seem to fit. And they teased him and they tormented him. And he said to me one day, he says, it's one thing to live for Jesus when you're on the top of the pile. It's another thing when you're on the bottom and when you're being ridiculed. And I was startled one day listening to the radio, to the news of all things, to discover that this young police officer had committed suicide. It can happen. But the person who commits suicide is violating this commandment that says, thou shalt not kill. You're killing yourself. Now, do you know what God thinks about murder? God says that murder is so serious, it is such a violation of the fact that we are created in the image of God, that the text says in chapter 21, verse 12, he who strikes a man so that he dies shall surely be put to death. Now, there are some people who say this. You've heard the arguments on television and in the newspapers. They say, we so value human life that we believe that nobody has the right to take the life of somebody else, even if he is a convicted killer who is a serial murderer who has killed 30 different people. We should never exercise capital punishment because human life is so sacred. That's the way the argument goes. Very interestingly, God would say, no, your opinion is still too low. Human life is even more sacred than that. Human life is so sacred that if somebody takes the life of another to display the sacredness of human life, you have to take their own life. That's what God says. In fact, if you're unconvinced, look at what he says in Genesis chapter 9, verse 6. This is the whole argument for capital punishment. It's because human life is so sacred, God says that the person who takes it, the only proper retribution is for his own life to be taken. Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. Why? Because man isn't very sacred? He is of little value? No. For in the image of God he made man. Interesting. God says you take somebody's life, the only proper way to deal with that is to have your life taken. The only argument against capital punishment that I can possibly think of is the possibility that exists that you're executing the wrong person. But in those cases where there is no reasonable doubt, there is the responsibility of the state, because the Bible says that if you don't do it, the land will be polluted with blood. And I'm not blaming our judges and our criminal system. I shouldn't say just judges alone, but the whole criminal system, unfortunately, suffers in America today.
Yes, my friend, indeed, it is a reality that when we do not punish criminals the way they should be punished, crime increases. And by the way, the only reason that we recognize human life as being sacred is because, as the Bible says, we are all created in the image of God. I've written a book entitled Why Holiness Matters, and I wrote it because I wanted people to understand the Ten Commandments, but also to grasp the deeper meaning of these commandments and their relevance to us today. So many people think to themselves, well, we're not under law, we're under grace. My friend, law is very important if it is interpreted correctly. And that's why it is, for a gift of any amount, we're making this book available for you. It's entitled Why Holiness Matters, the subtitle, The Ten Commandments, Jesus and You.
You've just heard Erwin Lutzer beginning The Value of Life, a look at the fifth of the Ten Commandments, which says, you shall do no murder. Next time, we'll explore further why capital punishment is demanded by God's high view of the value of life. Eternity will reveal how faithful we were on earth. That's why holiness matters. The title of a book by Pastor Lutzer that describes the holiness of God as expressed in the Ten Commandments. This book will be sent as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support the ministry of Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. For Pastor Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.